brings us very close towards the end of the Torah, Parshas Devarim. Sefer Devarim really is repetition that took place in a very short time. But Parshas Matos is a parsha that has halachas to it, but ends off with a very, very long perek. In Perek Lamed Beis, there are almost 42 psukim that talk about a certain chapter which seems to an extent insignificant in the history of Klal Yisrael, and that was the Bnei God, Bnei Reuven, asking from Moshe Rabbeinu to substitute the chelik that they have in Eretz Yisrael with a chelik Eva Hayarding. And the pasuk talks about the negotiations. It talks about how Moshe Rabbeinu was upset with them. He thought they were trying to get off work, trying to get out of a fight, and explained to him that we're not. He made this special condition that if you come across and fight, then you'll be able to get a chelik. If you don't, you don't. Where he learned all the tanoim, all the dinim of Tanai Kofel. You've got to have whatever you make a condition. It's going to be a double condition. It's going to be a henkod in the lav, and Tanai Kofel in the maisa. All different conditions learned from this. It's a very, very interesting parasha, but it seems extremely lengthy in Torah standards. It must be a very important lesson that I learned from over here that is there to teach us the Deiris from this parasha over here. What we really have to understand is that Eretz Yisrael was something that was promised to Avraham Avinu, and it was something that they were striving for from the very beginning of the nation of Klal Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael was something they looked forward to getting. Eretz Yisrael, they had been waiting for the time in Mitzrayim, going through the Midbar, and now it actually comes to on the border of Eretz Yisrael. Bnei Gulbein say, you know what, we're quite happy to have a substitute, we'll take Eva Hayarding. What happened to them? And we didn't hear Bnei Gulbein Reuven with Tzaddikim. He brought down a medrash in various places that this was the closest Tzaddikim to Yeshua, who's helping him conquer Eretz Yisrael. He's dealing with very, very great people. Where did they go wrong? What happened to them? What was the idea behind this? So Ram Kotler mentions that Bnei God and Bnei Reuven had a very, very positive mindset of why they would want Eva Hayarding. And he says, brought down in Medrash already, that Reuven continued in the ways of his grandfather Reuven. Reuven went and took Dudoim. He took flowers, and he said he went and took it from the Hefka to be very careful, Chalila, not to take from something that was considered belonging to somebody else. And therefore, Bnei Reuven wanted to graze their animals in a place where there would be no chashoshes, nothing to worry about, of having and eating from other people's fields. And therefore, so Eva Hayardin was with huge open areas, where there's a tremendous amount of area for them to pasture their sheep, and it shouldn't chashoshon go along and take from somebody else. It was a noble calculation. And our answer is much more than that. These people were not interested in having an easy life. These people were Bnei Torah. These people who had a very, very clear understanding of what. These people wanted to learn with Menuchas HaNefesh. They wanted to have an easy life where they could have their sheep pasturing without them having to worry too much about stocks and shares. This is something very easy business. Get a few people easy to run their sheep and have a big, you know, have income coming in on a monthly basis and sit and steig and educate their children and make them a chachamim. That is what they wanted. That was what they wanted. And Eretz Yisrael didn't feel that they could have this kind of ease of parnasa. They didn't believe that they could learn with such milchas and nefesh. But they have to go and work. They have to go. It was not something that they were looking forward to. They wanted to be able to learn with the milchas and nefesh. That was their, clearly, so Aaron Kondo brings rise, that was their motive. So what was their mistake? And it's clear there was a mistake. It's brought down in many, many places that they got an oynesh for this decision. In Keheleth it says, in Mishle it says, Nachle meboy heles berishoino va'achris le'sevorich. Nachlo, that they took in Eva Hayarding, was done boy heles, was done in with Bahola, it was done in an uncalculated fashion, and therefore la'achriso le'nisporch, at the end they got no bracha from it. So what went wrong? And this is a vort, which is a meridig vort I once heard from the Kotzker Rebbe. The Kotzker Rebbe says everything brought down that say this to the others. Kol ma'asecho yir l'shem shemayim. Kol ma'asecho yir l'shem shemayim. Says the Kotzker, even l'shem shemayim should be l'shem shemayim. Now this is a typical Kotzker vort, right? Even l'shem shemayim should be l'shem shemayim. What's the day behind that? As follows. Avad it's a shame shemaim. And of course there are priorities. And a priority is to be able to learn with menuchas and nefesh. But you know what? Even within priorities, there are priorities. Even in the Shem Shemaim, there's a Lashem Shemaim. In other words, of course there is a gewaldig, a fantastic thing that you can sit down and learn. But there's a priority, and that priority is to live in Eretz Yisrael. There's to live in Eretz Yisrael. I'm not giving you the options, you know, to do Aliyah. Yeah, this is not the idea. It's kedusha of Eretz Yisrael that they missed, and they can't bring the shnei lechem from there, and they can't bring the oima from there. There's certain kedusha that they never ever had, and they never ever reached. And that was a priority. That although it was very important for them to grow sheep over Hayarden, but it's more important to grow themselves and grow the children in Eretz Yisrael. And even within priorities, there's priorities. Even in, it's a fantastic thing, but you can miss the plot. And they miss the plot. We see further on in the parasha, Moshe Rabbeinu gives a very sharp rebuke. They say to Moshe Rabbeinu that we will build pens for animals. We'll build gidrei soy, pens for animals, for orim the tapenu, and cities for our children. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Veimaleim." No, he says, "You build benu lechem orim letapchem. First, things build cities for your children, and then gidrei soynechem, and then build pens for your animals." What difference does it make? The difference is all the difference. There is a priority, and within the madregas of parnasa, which is a very, very important thing. Gidrei soyn is very important. Parnasa is very important. But within the parnasa, there is a certain even higher priority, and that is your children. That is who they are. And I'd like to say something, and again, and I believe it's my own personal opinion. People talk about, you know, the technology today is destroying the generation. You know, like the apple fell off the tree all those years back and destroyed, brought chaos to the world. Today, technology is destroying people. And I don't believe as much it is, as much, personal opinion, that it is as much the terrible things one sees on the internet. That's its own parasha. There's no doubt about it. It's an awful thing we see, and it's a cesspool. There's no doubt about it. But I really believe that well-meaning people are destroying this generation by merely not giving the priority to the children. You see mothers walking with their kids in the street, and they've got little kids. Instead of talking to them and stroking them and telling them stories, they're on their phone or they're texting or they're WhatsApping. You see people in restaurants, they're going out for an anniversary, right? They're both sitting in the opposite corner, WhatsApping or texting. And while they're texting, I've gone out on my anniversary. In other words, and even if it's parnasa, even if a father's sitting by a supper table and texts are coming in and emails are coming in, and it's parnasa, which is a very serious priority, there's no doubt about it, you've got to support a family. But family come before parnasa. Turn it off. So you may lose a customer, but children are more important. Children are more important, and therefore this is what happened over here. I believe that Parshas Matos is all about what matters. Yeah, it's all about the priorities. It's all about what is the focus, and they lost the focus. They didn't realize who they are. The Ikka and the Top and the Top and the Ikka. Reb Neventhal says a fantastic, fantastic God in his Goinus. It really is Goinus. I mean, he doesn't need my Hashkama, but it's something. It's fantastic. Apilondus. He says that the Gemara learns in various different places that in Kedushin, the Samach Aleph, from this parasha, the halachas of Tnai Kofel apply. Tnai Kofel, that when I make a condition, it has to be doubled over. If you come with me to Yerushalayim, I'll give you $100. If you don't come with me to Yerushalayim, I won't give you $100. Normally you will learn the Klal Henat Shemei Alav, yeah, but when it comes to Tnai, yeah, when it comes to making a condition of something, it's got to be doubled over. So the Maisa, very interesting, the Rambam pastens that you need to make offal. But he limits it, in Rambam Hilchus Mechir Pei Gedala Palachavov, he limits it to a case where the Tanai Kofel is done in the future. If you're doing a Tanai Kofel in the future, not doing it right now, I'm going somewhere and you have to do this. I'm going to Yerushalayim tomorrow. If you come with me, I'll give you $100. If not, not. That's got to be Tanai Kofel. But if I'm doing something right now, if the Kinyan is being done right now, and I'm doing the Kinyan right now, and the effect of the kinyan is taking place right now. In other words, right now I say to you, if you give me your watch from your hand, I'll give you $100. If you lend me a watch, I'll lend you $100. I don't have to make a tonight kofel if it's being done right now. That's a Rambam pasuk. It's very interesting where he learns it from, but that's a Rambam. How is it in the Gea over here? Very interesting. Moshe Rabbeinu says to them, Im yavru b'nei God b'nei Re'uve itchem, v'nasatin hem es ha'oretz, v'im lo yavru, v'noyichazem b'soichem eretz kanan. Moshe Rabbeinu speaks to them in a tanai kofel form. How do they answer back Moshe Rabbeinu? They answer back Moshe Rabbeinu and he says to them, Nachnu na'avor chalutzim lifnei Hashem Eretz Kanan. You have nothing to worry about. We will go along and fight in Eretz Kanan. They don't double over the Tanai. And they don't say, and if we don't, we won't get Evayat. They don't double that over. Why? Why? What's the vote? Says Rav Neventhal, the vote is as follows. Moshe Rabbeinu is saying to them, right now, you're missing something. Right now, you have not got your priorities straight. And therefore, I am not giving you Eva Hayadin right now. I am telling you that Eva Hayadin will be yours if you go over in the future. If you come to Eretz Yisrael and you fight, then in the future it will belong to you. If you don't fight, it won't. Why do you need a Tanai Kofel? Because I'm not giving it to you now. It's a Tanai that's going to be done in the future. They disagreed. And they said, Panosa, 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 Panosa. We need it right now. We need to make sure that nothing changes. We want Eretz Yisrael right now, and therefore we don't need a Tanai Kofel. And that's because the Tanai is being done right now. Moshe Rabbeinu is saying to them, Rabbi Yisrael, I beg of you, come to Eretz Yisrael. Experience Eretz Yisrael. See Mikdash Shiloh, Mishkan Shiloh. See what it means to be close to Rabbeinu Shleim and Yerushalayim and HaKadosh. Don't make your decisions now. You may want to change it later. Nope, Panosa is more than anything else. That was why Moshe Rabbeinu made it to Nakofa, because he wanted it to be done in the future, and that's why they wanted it right now, because they want it right now. When a person is so involved in a priority, there's no doubt, Panos is a priority, but when the priority overrides something above it, which should take even greater priority, that is where the dangers begin. Rav Neventhal says something, and he said this to his yeshiva, it's a very, very beautiful vod, and it's a bit sharp. He says, you know, today we talk about scholarship in the Jewish nation. There's got to be scholars. There's got to be academics. Academics. Very important for the Jewish nation to have academics, for the Israeli nation to have academics. True. True. It's a priority more than a lot of other terrible things. It, for sure, comes up there. He says, but you know, why do you need academics? Because how will the nation of Israel survive without academics? True. But how will the nation of Israel survive without garbage collectors? Try 1 week without garbage collectors, is absolute chaos. Try 1 week without academics, we can survive. If you're really worried about the survival of the Jewish nation in Israel, become garbage collectors. Elamai, there's something else that's also there's something else involved in your priorities, and that is my position in life. Yeah, is my position in life. Who am I? What's my position in life? If that's the case, make a priority your position in life, the way you're holding in Torah. And then, make that your highest priority, and then you can look at other priorities. You can look at academic research. That's fine. But the priority is who we are, is where we are holding in what is really important. Unfortunately, there are people who create an environment where the ikkas are taught to such an extent where they lose focus totally and their money becomes who they are. Where do we find that? End of the parasha. It says, Vayelchu b'nei mochid b'menashe gilodo v'yulkuduho v'yoyresh es amoyer shebo. He went and he captured it. V'yitam moyesh es agilal amochid b'menashe v'yeshebo. He went and lived there. V'yoyir b'menashe holach v'yulkudis chav yoyseim v'yikro eshem chav yoyir. And he called the place Chavos Yor. Yor Ya'ir is ranch. Fine, fair enough. The Noivach Cholach, Noivach went, the Yulkoit Es Knos, he went and he captured Knos, Yikro Lo, Noivach Bishmoy, and he called it Noivach Bishmoy. Now, Yikro Lo, yeah? Yikro Lo, what's wrong with this law? Doesn't have a Mapike. It does not have a Mapike. It should be Lo, because it's feminine. Yeah? It doesn't have a mappic cave. Says Rashi, why does it say law without a mappic? Because because its name never survived. It lost its name. That's why it's called Rafa. Shemashma Midrashu Kamoi Loi. V'yikra Loi. It never was an En Loivach. It lost it. Asks Rav Shimon Schwab, what is the difference between Chavos Yair, that name survived all the way through Tanakh, and over here, where we have Noivach lost the shame and lost who it was. It lost its name very shortly afterwards. What's the difference? He says a very big difference. One is Chavos Yair, there's a Chava and there's Yair. It's Yair's ranch. Yair remains Yair without his ranch. And it happens to be Yair's ranch, fine, but it's not who Yair is. However, Noivach went and he captured Kanaf and he called it Noivach after himself. He and his place that he captured became one. He didn't see anymore the Ikka and the Tophel. He didn't see himself out of the picture. He and his place became one. If a person loses focus and he doesn't realize it's something that belongs to me, it becomes you. It has no chance of survival. Sheker Einar Raglaim, it doesn't have a chance. It gets swallowed up in no time. I also want to finish off with a Murray de Gavot I once heard by Pidin HaBen. By Pidin HaBen, we have an extremely interesting exchange. It's a case where you have a firstborn child is born to a father, right? A young father, probably, right? And the Kohen, it's beautiful, you have on the tray, and the Kohen says to the father, now's the time to redeem your son. My boyest faith. What do you want more? Do you want your son, or do you want to redeem me? Now, I know my kids are colic, so I'll say, no, I'll keep him for a year and we'll give him back to me after. Yeah? But most people don't do that. Most people don't do that. Yeah? And they you know, yes, I'd like to pay, I prefer to pay the money. What's my boyest faith? Has anybody ever been to Pidin HaBen where the guy said, no, you're right. We'll try again. You keep this baby, I'll walk away. Yeah, what's Peshat over here? What's my boy's faith? What's Peshat? So, I once heard from Rav Chaim Kaufman, Zatzal, my boy's faith is a question that we're asking the father, a new father. Let me ask you a question. You have your child, and you have money. What is more important to you? If you can send your kid to a yeshiva that's going to cost an extra $100 a month, or yeshiva is going to cost, and you're going to get off $100, but it's not going to be as good for your child. What is going to be your priority? My boy is to say, is it the money or is it your child? Remember that in life. What is going to be the priority? People made the ikka, the tofel, the ikka. And therefore, in everything in life, which neighborhood are you going to live in? You can live in, spend more money, and you can be in a neighborhood that is more wonderful for your children, closer to shul, closer to yeshivas. My boy's faith, what do you prefer? Chinuch or boy's faith? Parshas Matis is about all that matters. Yeah, everything that matters is priorities, it's the ikka, it's not the tofel, it's the understanding and clarity that it's panosa is a high priority but not as high as Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, that our children are more chosen than anything else, and the Ezra Hashem, we should have the clarity to continue and be zeicha to get the real Hashem that's been here in Eretz Yisrael.
I'm not sure if you can be honest, no.